Mark chapter 13, and I'm going to be reading from verses 21 to verse 37. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Messiah," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything in advance. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Thank you, Jeff, for reading so clearly. That's lovely. Please keep your Bibles open. Let me pray for us as we consider God's word in Mark chapter 13. Our Father, we pray that the words Jesus spoke to his disciples, "What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch," may be words that we hear 2,000 years later and respond to with willing hearts. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. To be ready, you need to know about what is coming and you need to prepare. If I had known that the last train was leaving at 11 o'clock, I wouldn't have stopped for a Mackey D's. As it was, I arrived 5 minutes late for the train and I was stuck in London late at night with nowhere to go. I didn't know and I hadn't been prepared. If we had known that our flat was going to be burgled when we went out for a walk that day, we wouldn't have left our credit cards and cameras out. As it was, they took everything, including every CD that Lucy and I had ever owned. We didn't know, and we weren't prepared. Year 11s do know that their GCSE exams are going to happen on a certain day. So why do they still find questions they can't answer? Well, they know, but they're not properly prepared. To be ready, you need to know what's coming and you need to be prepared. Jesus wants everyone to be ready for the most important event in history. He tells his disciples so that they will know. But it's up to them, and it's up to us today, whether or not we will be prepared. In the true story from Jesus' life we're looking at today, Jesus tells his disciples two massive events that are about to happen in the future. He wants them to know, so he prophesies about them. He tells them what's going to happen before it happens. Both of them were very hard to believe. The first one we're not looking at today. That's why we left out some of Mark 13. It was that the temple that they were standing there and looking at was going to be destroyed. It was about 40 years after Jesus told them it would happen that it was destroyed in a horrible way. The Roman army tore it down. That is in the history books. Exactly what Jesus said would happen did happen in history. It was a huge event for the Jews, a terrible and awful moment for them. But it's the second event Jesus prophesied about that is even bigger, even more awesome and more amazing. And that's the one we're looking at this morning. It comes in the answer Jesus gave, the second part of the answer he gave to the question the disciples asked him in Mark chapter 13, verse 4. Can you see the question? When will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're about to be fulfilled? Jesus said to them. Watch out. He doesn't give them the date or a time, but he does say more than once, be prepared. And in verse 26, after telling them about the temple is going to fall, he tells them about the second great thing that's going to happen. Look at verse 26. It says, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great glory. He's talking about his own coming back. Now, the Son of Man is a name Jesus uses for himself. He says the Son of Man is going to come and people will see him. Notice that he doesn't say they, the disciples, will see him. That probably means that the disciples will have died by the time this happens. He must be talking about coming back at a time in the future. And it won't be like his first coming. You know, when he came as a baby, born in a stable? No, this time he's going to come on the clouds with great glory and power. There it is. I've put a picture of a sun up. You can't look at the sun. It's so glorious. And when the sun comes up, everybody sees it. It's not easy to imagine a man who is God coming on the clouds and with glory. That is supernatural. Glory is God's brightness. When Jesus comes back, he will have a shining, powerful presence. Literally, no one in the world will be able to miss it. It'll be so bright. You won't have missed it if you were indoors. If you were at school, you won't miss it. When Jesus comes back, he'll be visible to everyone, everywhere at once. People who've believed in him and people who haven't, they will all see him. What else? Well, verse 27 gets even more mysterious. He will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. No matter where they've gone, no matter where they've been sent to live, whether it's the remotest mountains of China or in a big city in England, God will gather his people, Christians from all over the world. No matter how isolated or lonely they are, God will send his messengers. That's what an angel is, a messenger of God. And they will gather Christians from all over the world and bring them to God on that day. What an amazing prospect. Suddenly, people who've been getting on with their lives will be brought face to face with their God. There's nowhere in heaven on earth too isolated or too hopeless for God to find you. You could be in the deepest dungeon or flying in the highest aeroplane, and God's messengers will gather you from there all at once to him. In verses 21 to 23, Jesus gives them a helpful warning. Don't believe it when you hear news from somewhere else in the world that the Messiah has come. People saying, look, here's the Messiah, or look, there he is. Don't believe it, Jesus says. Well, why not? Why not if it has happened somewhere? Well, it's because when his glory shines, the whole world will see it at once. Those are just pretend messiahs. They will appear. They might even do amazing signs and look very convincing. But Jesus says, don't believe it, because when I come, everyone at once will know. There have been pretend messiahs in lots of places. I've got a picture of one. I'm going to put his name him up here. He was famous in England in the 1990s. His name is David Icke. He said in an interview with Terry Wogan, I am the Son of God. And the whole audience laughed. And it was laughable, but there are people claiming those sorts of things. He made a lot of noise, but nobody believed him. The disciples have been talking about their lovely big temple building, the place where the people of God used to gather to worship and to be made right with him through sacrifices. Jesus has just told them that the temple is going to be destroyed, and that must have been awful. Though they had to wait 40 years after he said it, it was smashed to bits, and some of them would have lived to see it. But Jesus says another time is coming when something even bigger will happen. God will gather all his people from all over the world at once. Like they used to gather at the temple in Jerusalem, only this will be a bigger gathering and a better one, because Christians from everywhere will be gathered. It'll be like there's a new temple, only there won't be a building. And you know why? What is the temple? Ever since the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed? Hands up anyone who knows. A bit of a clue. Who is the temple? Thanks, Phoebe. Of course it is. We will be gathered to him. Phoebe, thank you. To Jesus. And when that happens, it'll be the end of the world as we know it. Nothing will carry on as before. There'll be no more time for people to get ready. On that day, once the Son of Man comes and God has sent his angels to gather Christians, there'll be no more chances left. No more time for people to repent and believe. No more time for people who've been putting it off to put their trust in God and turn to him as their savior. If people aren't ready on that day, it will be too late. I missed the train. We were burgled. Some people aren't ready for their GCSE exams. That's why Jesus says in Mark verse 13, look, verse 5, watch out. Verse 23, be on your guard. Verse 33, be alert. And verse 35, keep watch. To finish off, Jesus tells two little stories to try and help people understand his message. He wants people not just to know about what is coming, but to get ready. Verse 28, he says, learn this lesson from the fig tree. Has anybody got a fig tree? We've got a fig tree. I pulled these figs off our fig tree a couple of weeks ago. They're not very big, but I have tried one, and it's delicious at the bottom. Anyway, fig trees. The thing about fig trees is that they are one of the last trees to sprout their buds and burst into leaf. And when the fig trees put their leaves out, you know summer is there. Summer is on its way. I'm not a gardener. I've read that in a book somewhere. But that is what Jesus is saying. You know the fig tree. Look at verse 28. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. Jesus goes on, when you see these things happening, you know that it's right near at the door. What things? And what's near? Well, Jesus meant the same sorts of things that he said to look out for just before the temple was destroyed. He gave them a list of things to look out for. And you can read through chapter 13 to look for the list of things that he gives. I don't think you'd have to be very good at history to know that Jesus isn't just talking about the moment before the temple was destroyed. Listen to these. These are in chapter 13. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Have we got those? Yes, we have. We've got wars and rumors of wars going around. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. We've got those, haven't we? Children will rebel against their parents. Does that go on in your house? I think it does. Everyone will hate Christians. Well, lots of people do hate Christians, sadly. In some countries, you can go to jail for having a Bible. These things have been happening ever since Jesus spoke. And his strong encouragement is therefore to live as though his coming is just around the corner. But they still want to know exactly when. They want to know the date. If you knew the date, what difference would it make? My guess is, if it was 10 years away, you'd think, I don't have to be ready until then. Isn't it kind of God not to give us the date? He's just said, be ready. Look at verse 32. About that day, no one knows, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But not knowing the exact day doesn't mean that it isn't coming. Earlier he said it's like birth pangs. It's like labor pains. Now, I have no experience personally of those. But some of you, if you've seen your mum have a baby, you'll have seen what they look like and sound like and had a guess at what they feel like. When they happen, that's like tight squeezes round the tummy. That means the baby is jolly nearly there. It's time to grab the overnight bag, sandwiches from the fridge, head for the hospital. Well, these things that Jesus, these are signs that Jesus is really coming back, and it's vital you have everything ready. Look at verse 33. You can't miss how important Jesus says this is. Be on guard. Be alert. You don't know when the time will come. I was a soldier for a few years, and one of the things we needed to do was guard duty. It's quite boring. We took it in turns. If you're on guard, that means you have to be armed and ready, looking out for danger. The worst thing to happen would be for danger to come and you to be fast asleep. Listen to Jesus, verse 34. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servant in charge, each with their assigned task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether at evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at the dawn. If he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. I have to say and admit, it wasn't quite sleeping, but I was doing something when I was on a particular kind of long guard duty that when the commanding officer found out, he was a bit upset. I'd gone for a run, and I hadn't left anyone else properly in charge. That's not quite falling asleep. But anyway, I've been guilty of this. How awful to be found asleep when you should have been awake on watch. Jesus is saying he's coming back and it could be any time. Please, nobody be found asleep. He doesn't mean it's bad to go to sleep. It means we need to get ready and be ready for his coming at any time. So, do you see then? Jesus has done his part. He's given us the warning. He said that he is coming back, and we now know that he's coming back. So what's our part? Our part is to get ready and to be ready. Are you prepared? Well, how does a person get ready for Jesus' return? How do you get ready? Do you know how? The answer from the rest of the Bible is to recognize that Jesus is the owner of the house. He's the one in charge of all of our lives, the one to whom we will give an account when he comes back. All of us, sadly, have been rebel children. We've turned our backs on our Father in heaven, and we deserve his judgment. The only way to be forgiven is to believe the promise that God has made that he will forgive us and welcome us when we turn to him. Now, Jesus came the first time to make it possible for us to be forgiven. You know how he did that? He took the punishment we deserve on the cross, and he said to us, anyone who believes in me can have my perfect life, and I will take on your rebellious life and the punishment you deserve. You can be free by believing in me. So do you see, he came the first time in grace and mercy to show us God's love and to put in place the exchange that we need. But he's coming a second time. And at that point, there will be no more chances. We live in the gap between the first and the second time. His coming will signal the end to all waiting. It will be judgment day. And the big question for everyone is, will you be ready? Will you be among those whom the angels will gather from all over the world to be with Jesus? Or will you not? There's no in the middle. You're either ready or you're not. You're either with Jesus or you are without him. We are living in the last days, according to the Bible. There's nothing left to happen in history before Jesus comes back. There's no great event that we're waiting for. There's no building that needs to be built. There's nothing that needs to be done. He could come back at any time. And according to Jesus, we need to be ready. When he arrives, he says the world will be carrying on doing its thing. People getting up, eating breakfast, going to school, going to church, making Sunday lunch, getting married, retiring. They'll be doing every manner of normal things. And suddenly, he will come on the clouds in great power and glory. Like the owner of a house coming back, it'll be a day of reckoning. You won't miss it. Nor will any of your friends or your family. That will be the day when Jesus will wrap up this world and start a new one. He will gather the elect from all over the world, those who've believed in him, and they'll go to be with him forever. Not cut off and distant anymore, but with him in glory in heaven. Remember the fig tree? When you see the buds, summer's nearly here. Well, Jesus says, when you see the things I've mentioned happening, know that my coming back is nearly here. Remember the guard asleep on duty? Don't be the person who's heard but is not ready. Don't be the person who wasn't listening, who ignored the warning. We are in Advent. That means Advent calendars and chocolate and excitement and window trails and lovely other things. Perhaps you've got an Advent calendar, you've got numbered doors that you can open right up to Christmas Day. How many days are there left until Christmas? How many? 19? 19 days. Okay, you know which day Christmas is. You've got little doors to open to tell you when. And you're getting ready for it, aren't you? Well, take the event Jesus was talking about. The exciting run-up to Christmas, you know when that's happening, and the exciting run-up to Jesus coming again. We don't quite know, but we know it's coming, and be ready. Jesus is coming back. Let me read out to you one last time the things Jesus said to make his point. He said them lots of times. Verse 5, watch out. Verse 23, be on your guard. Verse 33, be on your guard, be alert. Verse 35, keep watch. And look at verse 37, just in case you hadn't got the message. What I say to you disciples, I say to everyone, Watch. That means look out. Perhaps you need to pray today that God would open your eyes and your heart and make you take notice. Perhaps you can give thanks today for the fact that you've been told and you have taken to heart Jesus' warning about his coming back. You can look forward to that day without fear because you are safe in his forgiveness. You know that your life is in his hands. That is a wonderful gift and a great privilege. Let's rejoice in it. Let me pray and then pause for a moment before we sing our last hymn. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the fun of Advent leading up to Christmas, a day that we can put a number on and we know it's only 19 days away. Thank you for this warning from Mark chapter 13 from Jesus, that there is another greater day that is coming, that is certain, and we don't know quite when it is. Please prepare us. Please strengthen those who've not yet trusted in you to do so while they can, before it's too late. And for those of us who have, we give you great thanks for our eyes being open and our hearts being softened. Please keep us ready and looking forward to that great day. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a song, but in the moment, everyone, lovely song, great to have it, super to sing together at home and hum together here. I wonder, Pete, are there any questions that have come out? Is there anything you'd like to put to me?
Are there any questions? They've been coming thick and fast this morning. So, first question from the Buchanans. If Jesus doesn't know when he is coming again, how can he be all-knowing?
That is a question about what Jesus gave up in coming to earth. So from heaven, he was giving up something of his deity in becoming human, in becoming able to be sad, tired, hungry, hurt, wounded. In becoming like us, he was giving up being able to be everywhere all at once. He was limiting himself to one place. And it seems in this area of knowledge, there was something that was also given up, a knowledge of when the second coming would happen. I don't know any more than that, but that is what the Bible teaches.
Great. Thanks, Tim. Next question from the Rapond family. Should we feel afraid of Jesus coming back?
I want to say no, of course not. It will be a wonderful, fabulous, great occasion if you're ready. If you are not ready, it is a terrifying prospect because at that point, everything you've ever done and everything you've ever said will be brought before the face of God and you will have to give an account for it. Those who are ready will be able to say, Jesus has taken my punishment. Those who are not ready will have to take the punishment themselves. So is it frightening? Well, not for Christians. It'll be a wonderful gathering of people. It'll be a getting together again when you haven't been able to gather. I guess you're looking forward to that with your families and with the church family after COVID. It'll be so much greater. However, the warning in this chapter about Jesus's second coming and the warning we must remember in Advent is he is coming back. Now, if you love someone, what's the most important message for them to hear if they've not yet trusted in Christ? Is it not that Jesus is coming back and they need to be ready? Might that be a motivation for some of the conversations we have around our table, around our Zooms this Christmas?
Thank you, Tim. Question from Ezra. What does it mean that the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
Ezra, I don't know.
Is that it?
that's it. I don't know. It'll be big and you won't miss it, but there'll be something enormous happening. And I don't know what that is.
Okay, right. Next question. From the Miser Stedmans, there are some people who spend a lot of time looking for all the warnings and signs in Revelation and here and referring them to current events to see if they can work out when Jesus' return will be. But is that what we should be doing?
No. I want to say if we've read Mark 13 rightly, we will have heard the one thing we should be doing more importantly than anything else. Can we ask the gym, what should we be doing more importantly than anything else? Getting ready, getting ready. They're saying it in the gym. I hope you're saying it at home. Getting ready means being prepared, means trusting in Jesus. Trying to work out the time is futile. If Jesus himself didn't know it, it's not likely we're going to be able to put a finger on it by ourselves, are we? Okay.
Great.
I think last one.
Okay, it's not a question. It's a strap line from the Buchanans. It's a COVID-style strap line. Stay alert, control your sin, save lives.
We like it. Stay alert.